How you doing there?
Hey, Mr. Mark Warman. Hang on a second.
Mark.
Because as you're walking in the door, you know what we got to do? We got it. We got to give you a big send-up.
You guys are just walking in?
I hear it, yeah. Yeah, well, Mark, when you appear, that song just plays. I don't know how it happens.
I love it. That's great. We actually, that guy gave us the rights to that song.
Oh, you're kidding me, really?
So we're
welcome to use it anytime we want. So that's, I think that's pretty cool.
And
very
that's,
cool.
Slant 6 is the name of the band that recorded that, which is so
Oddly
cool.
Oddly enough.
Yeah. Excellent. So, Mark, we have so much to catch up on. It's been a while since we spoke with you, but now, of course, season 10 of Graveyard Cars is among us.
It is. And yeah, season 10. We're on our, we just aired our second episode of season 10 on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And from social media standpoint, you never really know, but from there, it looks like everybody enjoyed the show and are liking the fun format with the kind of 70s grindhouse look to it. So,
yeah,
so far so
cool.
Good, man. That's a good thing.
I have to say, when I saw the pre-release, the promo trailer you did, I said, oh my God, it's Quentin Tarantino. It's Death Proof. There it is.
Exactly right.
Look, Mark is Zobel. That was so cool. And I got to say, I am a big fan of the new graphics, the red and the orange and the yellow.
Catchy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And did you just as a point of reference, because we think about this stuff, what did you have to go through to be able to do that, to actually borrow that trail? Did you have to get the Quentin's blessing or what? How does that work?
Oh, no. It's just a style. It's a genre. So it's nobody can patent a genre. It's okay. What we did was our director, Dale Watson, the guy I usually call Fatso behind the camera. He's a real talented guy. He did all those graphics himself. He created the models and built the whole thing and rendered it in 3D and put all the filters over the top of it. So that's all just... That's 100% us. It just has the same feel. Then we remixed some music, mixed our own music, really, for the sound for the trailer. And there you go. Voila.
You did an incredible job. Let me tell you something.
I have
well,
to say,
thank you.
Pretty impressive.
Thank you.
I have to say, Mark, that anybody who's watched the show would agree, I think, as the seasons have progressed, your show has grown, it's changed, it's a work in progress, it's gotten better. And I use the word better. You got to understand where I come from, because it's always been a great show, technically, for the content. But now, I guess, like with the video production and all that, you
polished.
Kinda, polished, yeah. So,
yes. Shine.
Yeah, down. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I do. And I also am a realist. I was around in the pilot, I was around in season one, two, three. They were, they were all we had, all we knew. We shot our first season and the pilot. I probably have rattled this off before, but we shot it on two different Vixia camcorders. One we bought at Walmart, and one was the guy who was interning for me, his dad's camera, he lent it to us.
Right.
So we were pretty humble beginnings back then, but we did the best we could, and I mean, it was enough to launch us to get another season and another season, and now here we are, 10 seasons. I think we'll have 130 or 132 episodes under our belt at the end of the season.
Wow, really?
Jeez. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty crazy.
And it's a good thing, because as your fans will know, you went into the gym, you toned up, you lost weight, so now you have more room under your belt for those seasons. Which
I do. That's right. I got a little bit more room. I've shed a few extra pounds and working a little bit with the weights, trying to just tone things up a little bit.
Yeah.
And
well, hey, you got to spoil
live a little longer.
You got to spoil with Goldberg, so you got to be in good shape. Right? But I have to say, going from those Walmart cameras, now you're building a camera truck, which I think is great. I saw that on Instagram.
Oh, you saw that? Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, that was our old van that everybody gave us crap about because it was a Chevy van. You remember that back in season 4 or 3?
Yep.
And what it was my father-in-law gave me the van, and he passed away a couple years ago, and so it's kind of a bit of an heirloom now in the graveyard tradition. I didn't want to use it as the van anymore because we're building one for that, but I thought, God, what a great camera truck. It's a one-ton long bed. It runs like a champ. So, yeah, we just been modifying it over the summer, and we're just putting the final touches this week, and we'll get to take it out and use it. But when I watch the other programs, that they're all great, you know, on Motor Trend. I mean, everybody on there is uber professional and good camera work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I see the restrictions that we have to deal with, too. So if you're shooting out of the back of a pickup truck, you can only sweep so far to the left, so far to the right, get down so low. But with this setup, we were able to put the jib right on the back of it so we can go all the way down to the ground and shoot up. And we have about, I would say, 200 degrees of rotation.
Wow.
So really, these shots ought to be pretty amazing once we start implementing this thing.
Yeah, that's great.
And the on-road stuff is cool, too. You just did a shot in on Friday night in Season 2. We were driving the 68 Charger, and you got some really great road shots out of a Hyundai.
Out of the passenger seat of a Hyundai. That's right. Shitbox, sorry.
Yeah. Hey, I got to ask you a question about that car. I noticed that on the dash, it had like some one of those gauge pods, like a dual gauge pod on top of the dash. What's the story behind that part?
That's the owner. This car was kind of sent to us as a basket case, and him and his buddy had done the body and paint, and frankly, pretty darn good.
Oh, okay.
Really did a great job, actually. But as I said in the show, they ran out of steam as far as the correctness and the access to parts, so that's when he commissioned me to bolt it back together, which is really what we did. But there's a lot more to it than just bolting it together.
Oh, sure.
But he had bought a lot of the parts, not all of them, but he bought a lot of them. And this dash was one that he had, for some reason at the time, he loved it and wanted to do it. But then, of course, as he gets acclimated with OEM and seeing the shop and the cars, he kind of regrets it. But he can always change it out.
Okay.
But it is a fully functional gauge pack that apparently you can order from somebody. I don't know who that is.
That looks good.
It gives
there.
You all the functionality of the gauges without having to rely on the old in-dash ones.
Well, that's it. You know, and anybody who drives old cars like us, you know, they weren't set up for those creature-type comforts and for good gauge, you know.
No. Lights a lot of times.
Right. Yeah, the technology for gauges kind of stunk.
Right. Which was good, because most of the guys I knew were idiots driving them, so it didn't really...
Fits them perfectly, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's cool. And, you know, and also, I don't know, I'm not going to say we're the clearinghouse over here, but we do get a lot of mail and texts and stuff, because people know that we've had you on the show in the past. So they always, they think we know the answers to what you do on your show. They're like, hey, why'd Mark do this? Why? Like, what the heck do I know?
Yeah, it goes with the territory, right?
To call them? But one of the biggest questions and compliments that I had come back was on the dashboard run stand.
Oh, yeah.
That was impressive,
yeah.
Yes.
That was cool.
That took me forever. I wasn't kidding. I'm colorblind as a bat, so I can't. Red. If it's in one of those situations where you're asking me to choose between red and green, you might as well fill your will out, because it's not going to work out well for you.
Okay.
But I can follow wires.
right.
I kind of wanted to simulate it being in the car in those exact same environments and be able to dial it in to a certain degree to make sure that they're accurate. Now, I know the guys like at Instrument Specialties, they do all that. They do all of our dashes for us. And so back there, he was telling me he has some of the original equipment from the manufacturer.
Ooh,
to do this stuff.
That's neat.
So all I was able to do was kind of emulate what it would be like inside the car and just make sure that nothing rattled loose and got weird. And it's good education too for the audience. So
Yeah,
I'm glad of that. That was a lot of effort put into that little rack, and so it's really great that you got some feedback on that.
And of course, you know, the one person who was less than enthused is your daughter, Alyssa, who was like, what the hell am I looking at this thing for?
Couldn't care less. Right. Yeah, that's her. Well, that's why I made her do it.
Right, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, if she acted interested, I would have got somebody else.
Yeah, you got to be able to handle that stuff too, because let's face it, not everything is done with a hammer and an impact wrench. You know what I mean? You got to be able to handle that aspect of the build as well. No.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. You know, there are certain things that are still a finesse. Final body fitment, final body work, making sure the lines are right, mm-hmm. Putting in windows and making sure that they don't just roll up and down, but they do it relatively easy, and that they line up with the adjacent windows, and that coordinates with the upper weather strip referral weather strip area, and that it all fits, and that the door still opens and closes afterwards. So,
right.
Yeah, there's some finesse still left in it.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because it's a lot. You could see some guys that slap together a car, and it's like, oh yeah, by the way, you're going to need this hammer to open the door.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Or, well, yeah, give it a good slam; it'll
yeah.
be fine.
Yeah. You know, right, just pull really hard.
That's something I've seen. I've seen that on a lot of the car shows now, where guys are really making it an effort and showing that they're paying attention to fit and finish and door gaps, hood gaps,
right, hood gaps. Yeah.
Whereas we all know bodywork in years past was like, if it closes, good enough.
Right.
That's nice to see that level of commitment. But
and whistles a tune as you go down the highway.
Yeah,
Yeah. Been there. Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so any teasers for us for season 10? I mean, everybody wants to know, what's he going to do next? I'm like, stay tuned. I don't know.
Well, frankly, I don't know either.
Oh,
I haven't
cool.
got a clue what we're doing.
All right.
I do know that this season we finished the 1970 Dodge Coronet RT 426 Hemi 4-speed convertible for Mr. Brett Torino, and we had him out and delivered that mm-hmm. to him. And we had our SEMA show in the 1st of November, and where we unveiled the little dead wagon.
Yeah.
The 1964 Dodge A100 right. with the Ray Barton built 1,000 horsepower pump gas Hemi in the back of it. So we had that on display at the Mopar booth. And if you guys were there watching, or if you watched it on social media later, Mopar introduced that brand new 1,000 horsepower all aluminum 426 mm-hmm. cubic inch third generation Hemi.
Right.
Yeah, and I was presented with that, surprisingly, at the end. That was, I didn't know that was coming,
nice.
And so that got me off guard. So right now I'm working on the details around the car that I'd like to put it in, and we're not. We may not even announce it. We may do a real unveil next year at SEMA.
Yeah, how do you decide that? Okay. You know, which ties into, I mean, we have a couple of side threads I'm thinking of, but with the... what was I going to say? With the the dead wagon was one, but the I noticed in the beginning of the show. Now you're driving that sassy grass green the Cuda,
the SEMA car,
which is kind of cool. That's a nice new
That was
show.
A new intro to the show. Yeah, the director had that idea, and it's a little bit different than what we've done in the past.
Yeah,
it gives you some. It gives you a little eye candy on the car for sure, but at the same time, I'm kind of not distracted, and I can give you the rundown of what's going to be seen in the episode and kind of a pre-picture. And then, of course, at the end of the show, I'm driving home or driving somewhere. Usually one of the guys or gals is with me, and we're heading to dinner or something, and we just kind of wrap up. So one thing we do try to do is, not everything's a winner, but we do try different things every year. We definitely don't want to be stale. We definitely want to feel almost like a new show. Mm-hmm. And there's good and bad to that, because you get the people, like last year, we had an overwhelming amount of people saying how they would love the new format, they loved everything about it, it was perfect. And of course this year it's similar but different, so you get the pushback saying, why, you had it perfect, why have you changed things?
Yeah, right.
But
exactly.
I know enough to know that the shows that are the exact same thing over and over and over again, it's no longer, it's a one-trick pony, and it won't last.
Yeah,
right.
Which is interesting, because now, and you find a way to make it fresh, but dealing with Mopars and predominantly B bodies, that you would think that could put you into a box, but yet you found a way to expand that box, which is fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a conscious effort. It's not by accident.
That's a contraceptive, did you say?
What's that?
We all thought you said that's a contraceptive. And
oh, contraceptive.
Like, what?
I said that. Well
it does, because you know what? We're not paying attention to our women. We're watching you. So
right,
let me tell you something. Mopars are a lot of
always
things, but I've never had one be a contraceptive.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah,
I would say that's the opposite.
Yeah, you go.
And it happens. we have seen some.
You know what? Like I say, it's just kind of thinking like the audience would say. You can see an engine go together, and after the fifth or sixth time, if you've watched a show diligently, then you're going to be. It's just going to be mundane to you.
Right.
But
now,
if we throw you a different pitch each time and support it with a story, around that particular build, then it feels fresh content. And we've done the same exact job we did 20 times earlier, but you feel like you got a different feel for it.
That's actually a good approach, yeah.
It is. I don't know if you feel like us, Mark, but if sometimes we start to think like our listeners, and we get twitchy. It's like, we don't like that feeling too much. It's like,
absolutely. Hey, absolutely.
Hey. Yeah, the meds have to, then you have to wait for the meds to kick back in. Right.
I have to say, though, one of the things that gave me, I'd like to make a screensaver out of it, is it's given me great joy, peace, and relaxation to see you out by your fire pit, which is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I've only seen that on, I guess, on Twitter. Nice work. Beautiful. And it's so relaxing.
That's yep. Thank you. Yeah. You know, that's almost, that's a retreat for me at the end of a 12-hour day. Yeah. And I still live in the same, people see that and they probably figure I live in a mansion, not even close. I'm in the same house I was in 1990 when I rented it. And then in 2000, I started buying it. And so it's just a little house in Springfield. But that backyard, it was on a third of an acre, so I had a little bit of a backyard.
Yeah.
And over the years I put a koi pond in years ago, dug it myself, rented one of those little miniature backhoe things.
Right.
And learned the hard way that's not my forte. It was going to be a 4x8, but I kept caving the sides of it in with the weight of the tractor, and I ended up with like a football field for a pond out of the back.
Half the backyard gone.
Grow the koi bigger.
I think this is... Yeah. This little one's the one that we like. It's, the 1972 Dodge Charger Gold that we did last season or
yes,
the season before.
Right. With the aftermarket wheels.
Right.
Little 400 four-speed car.
Yep.
He's a Mason. He came down from Canada to get his car, and he wanted to surprise me with doing something for me. He was so appreciative of the work and the extra things we did that he brought his son down, and they built that out back, that little island for
cool.
appliances.
Nice. Very cool.
Fireplace. And
nice.
So, yeah, I cherish it. I think that's wonderful.
That's cool. You know, another thing, speaking of properties, one of the listeners had asked me the other day, on the beginning shots of the show, where you show your the back lot of your, where you have all the cars, which are lined up laser straight by the back.
Yeah, they are.
Which is what's that property behind it, that huge field? And they say, is that Mark's too? I'm like, how do I know? I don't...
Well, it's a great question, and it's really relevant right now. When I bought this place, I tried to get that, but the owner's an old family here in Springfield, and the old man, he's gone now. He built this building that we're in now. They did electric motor repair. So that's why that big 5-ton bridge jack's out there in the shop still. They did Weyerhaeuser sawmill, the different sawmills, they would fix their motors, their electric motors. But anyway, he had this and that property next door. So we have this one now, but they didn't want to sell that, and we just not... A month and a half ago, I heard from him saying, make me an offer on that property. So right now, we're finishing the negotiations next week, and that's going to be the future home of some of the things that I've talked about doing in the past, such as the retro dealership.
There you go. That was the next question I was going to ask. People are asking, what happened to the dealership?
Right.
I think that's where we're going to end up going with it,
nice.
And it'll tie in well. We're waiting for the city to get back and say whether or not that is zoned for a, and it may not be zoned for a little coffee drive-up espresso thing.
Right.
But we wanted to put one in there, and I kind of wanted to do like an homage to the Munsters house, 1313.
Yep.
Nice.
Kind of go with the graveyard theme, and all the drinks would be named after something Gothic,
cool.
You know.
Yeah. I have an interesting point here. We happen to have in the studio two fans of your show, Al and Dave. Al is a former mayor, and Dave is a former police captain, police chief in the town that they were from. How about addressing that? How would someone, if in your town, if they came to you, like Mark, and said, I want to expand, can you guys help me? What do we do?
That was the first thing I was going to ask him, if the city's acceptable to a zoning change, because you could go before the zoning board and ask for a change of the property.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you could probably get it in, depending on if it matches the... area,
right.
If it matches the other businesses in the area.
Right.
It looks like you're in an industrial park, so, you know, if you put in anything, fancy in, it will just increase the area, the viewshed of the area. So you might be able to get it through the zoning board very easily.
Nice.
And from the police perspective, it's my curse word. Get a lawyer.
Lawyer. Well, I've already kind of traveled down a lot of those roads. Getting a zone change on a light medium industrial to a community commercial is just if all the property next to it down there was CC, community commercial for that, then it'd be a reasonable sell. But right now it's not. You go right from residential to MDI, and so it's just a harder sell at that point.
Right. Even though you're going to have a buffer between the residential and the industrial area?
Even if there is a buffer, which the only buffer in this particular case is a road, which hasn't been developed. If you look at those helicopter, those drone shots that we do, and you look carefully, you'll see that the roads that are adjacent that run along north and south, east and west to that vacant land, that's 4 acres over there, that it's undeveloped. So whatever, when I go to develop that property, I'll have to put in streets or curbs and sidwalks and gutters and all that.
Right.
It's going to be spendy too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, the I was going to ask, I'm sorry. Even though your new business would be better than industrial, they don't consider that a buffer between the residential and the industrial area then?
Nah, the city of Springfield's an odd group. Now, maybe they all are, because I've never worked any other city or town, but they don't care. They couldn't care less about Mark Warman or graveyard cars. I almost think that they make me sometimes I feel like, I think it's easy to feel picked on when things don't go your way.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no latitude. They treat me, and probably rightfully so, they do treat me exactly like everybody else.
They just don't know you like the rest of us do.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they don't see my vision. They don't realize how many people come in the summer with a destination of us.
If you had guys like Al and Dave on the board, I mean, car guys.
There we go. There we go.
That might help.
We need to get some car guys down there on the city council.
Maybe what you need is an East Coast representation out here. Maybe you got to branch out.
East Coast, West Coast.
There we go.
Well, I've thought about it. I sure have. If the right person came to me and said, listen, this is what I do every single day, but, you know, we're having a hard time getting work in here, but we're great. I would go down the entertainment of licensing that shop, either in the way of a partnership or a LLC or maybe just licensing them to use it.
That'd be interesting,
gentlemen,
but
a road
it would
trip.
Have to be, you know, it's my reputation, so everything's on it, so it has to be exactly the way that I demand every car's done.
Well, you have Tony D'Agostino's out this way.
Tony is out there, and Tony would do exactly those things. We've kind of joked around. He told me the other day he wants to sell his business and move out here, but that'd be stupid. His dad's back there. Yeah. He's so successful. I mean, he knows everybody. Talk about somebody that's networked. I mean, I like to think I am, and it's not even close. If I have a problem, I call him up, and he goes, oh, you need to talk to old Bill down there in Missouri. He knows. He's got the answer. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. He's met somebody and know something. His skills would be wasted as a parts guy here.
It's amazing. I saw him out at Carlisle, and the line of people trying to talk to him, you know, and his connections.
It's funny. He's loving it.
It's just amazing,
Yeah, he said that. He goes, man, what do they want? You were on the show. They want to ask you if I'm really an asshole.
Right. That's true. You know, and as you know, Mark, we've had you on the other show that I participated in, Playing in Traffic with Lou Santiago, and as I understand, you're slated to come back. I thought you were going to be back on that show before we got you here, but we got you here first, which is good.
Well, I've got an email from that guy,
Lewis Lee,
and I just haven't had an opportunity to follow up with everything. As soon as we got back, we had it from SEMA. We had our hands full with about everything you could imagine. Anything that could go wrong did, and so I haven't had the time to get hold of him. I ran into Lou at the VIP after party at SEMA that Discovery Channel puts on.
Right.
And he had his agent guy there, and I'm terrible at names. I don't remember.
That's Lewis Lee.
Yeah, Lewis, is that what you said?
Yeah, they're both Lou Santiago and Lewis Lee. Lewis Lee is his, I guess, agent, you could call him, whatever, yeah.
So, how do you spell it so I can look up that email? Lewis, L-E?
L-E-E.
It is, okay.
I'll Lewis, send you, you know what, when we...
Could be on the All Ends, maybe?
I'll send you, All Ends Magazine, I'll send you a text with his email address.
That'd be great.
I'll do that.
That'd be great. Yep, I do owe him a return call, and now that you've said that, I remember.
Yeah. But I know that, Lewis said, we're going to get Mark back on the show after seeing him. I'm like, great, because we're looking to book him on the radio show, too. So, and that's, you know, those guys are great networkers, and then what we've done is we've kind of pooled our entity and guests from that. That's how I met Al. Guests from that show come to this show go to that show, and we kind of, you know, we're just doing a networking thing and sharing, because that's what car guys do. You know, spread it around and share it. You know, some people like to hoard it. You got to get it out there. You got to share it.
The way it all works. That's how we all benefit.
It's like that Foghat 8-track. You got to lend it to your buddy, but make sure you get it back.
In fairness, it was Eddie Money.
The Dash Test, that was Eddie Money, correct.
Two tickets to Paradise.
I'm talking about the one you played when you were cruising around on, West 11th Street or whatever it was. Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, up on Willamette, yeah.
Yeah. But because I know that's what I was playing. That's for darn sure. And it's something, I've been using it as a catchphrase because I'm a big, Joe and I are big music guys. And when I talk to people, I make music references, and I usually say, I'm going to go prune the old Foghat 8-track. Just something I say. Mm-hmm. And people, for some reason, that strikes a chord, and people say, "Wow, yeah, Foghat."
Yeah, you're you go.
And you ring the bell.
Yeah,
you rung the bell, and that's what I think Graveyard Car's success truly is. It isn't my amazing singing or dancing talents, though they're unparalleled. It isn't my knowledge of the cars. It's the cars and the bell that gets rung when I start talking about something from that era that resonates with anybody who was there.
Right.
And that captures their attention. Go to the ear with a point, but go to the heart with a story.
Yes.
Exactly.
Good. I had to ask. Someone asked me, too, hey, is that wrap chain he wears, is that a real chain or is it plastic? Like,
that's a real chain, man. That thing kills me every time I have to put it on. It weighs like 2 or 3 pounds.
Yeah, you got the turnbuckle clamps on it.
The turnbuckle clamp goes through the back of my neck like Frankenstein. And I get a kick out of it. It humors me, and I don't care if anybody else likes it.
I got to tell you a funny story. This is just a little interjection. But we have a friend who's on playing in traffic with us, Brian the Matco Man from Maryland. And he had sent me recently a hoodie sweatshirt, and he threw in a hat. So I'm in the kitchen, and I'm not a hoodie guy, but I put it on, and my wife's like, oh, that's kind of cool. So I put the hat on, pulled it low over my eyes, and I threw on a pair of dark shades. And my daughter says, Dad, is that you? Is that...
You were very thugged.
You just watched me.
You turned thug, rapper,
I said, I'm channeling Mark Warman, all
right? That's right. You just blame it all on me, buddy.
I took off the hat, and the guy goes, oh, now you look the same. I'm like, yeah, because I don't usually wear a hat. But it's funny, and then I thought, I said, all you got to do is put on a hat and glasses and stand right, and people take notice.
And throw that hat a little crooked, too,
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So that's fun stuff. But so what's, I know you don't want to, we can't tip the hand and share any deep secrets for the show, but what do people have to look forward to now coming up in future episodes? Because
this is a really dense season for deliveries. So a lot of people have always said, we want to see more cars getting delivered, and it's if we did the kind of thing where, like overhauling, where you delivered the car, beginning, middle, and end of the car, I think our ratings would probably be even higher than they are right now. Isn't realistic with OEM restorations on 50-year-old rust buckets.
Right.
So this year, though, we're delivering, as I had mentioned, the one of two built Hemi convertible Coronet RT convertibles.
Amazing.
A 68 Dodge Charger RT in MM1 turbine bronze metallic with a white Model B and pearl white interior.
Love that color.
That 1970 Dodge Challenger 440 six-pack four-speed in B7 blue.
Now, what's the difference in 5 and 7? I know it's... Because I saw Will painting a B, he was doing a B7, the B7 Challenger just the other night.
A B7 and a B5 in the same episode, I think.
What's the tonal difference between B5 and B7?
The darkness or the lightness. So they when they start out in the basement at 3, they go to 5, and they go to 7. And you'll see that on the Gs, on the Fs, on some of the different colors.
Got it.
It's the difference in the shade. And so when you get into that blue... And B7 is just one of the prettiest colors. I think that Toyota ripped it off many, many years later, a very similar shade to that B7 blue.
Yeah.
I had a 71 GTX 440 automatic air grabber, one of 427 built. It was a B7 over B7 guts, and it was just stunning.
Right.
So, B3 is pretty pale. You won't see those selling for anywhere near the B5s. Everybody knows B5, so they rattle it off. Dodge brought back B5. But B7 is the prettiest of those three blues.
Nice.
In addition to that, we've got our really cool car from a guy up in your neck of the woods, Yonkers, New York.
Yeah.
That when he was 18 years old on his 18th birthday, his mother went with him. He had had a job at one of the at his uncle's gas station for 3 years, saved up every single dime he made, and he went in and bought with his mother, ordered a 72 Plymouth Duster.
Nice.
344 speed, okay. Tawny gold, black mm-hmm. guts, bucket
nice.
Seat. And fast forward, one of my articles in Mopar, Mopar Muscle Magazine, I'm writing for them again. I don't know if I mentioned that to you, but I'm writing for Mopar Muscle, and I have a monthly editorial that comes out. One of the most recent ones was about that car. Long, condensed version is, bought the car in 72 when it was brand new. 8 years later, his mother won a night, or does he? He won the car. He bought the car in 72, so it would have been 12 years later. His mom won a brand new Mercury Lynx in a contest in New York. Remember those stupid little cars?
Yeah. With the
and there's a
headlights.
Picture of her, too, standing okay. next to that, getting the keys. Anyway, she gave that car to him, and he felt he didn't need the Duster anymore, so he sold his prized Duster.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah, we've all done
Fast
that.
Fast forward yeah. 4 years ago, he gets hold of me and says, can you build a car? He says, if you could find me one, that's great. But mine was kind of unique. I built it myself, and now I realize it was. He had the original Monroney from the window, the original window sticker from that car in his files at home. And so he sent me that, and we have built that car based on that Monroney.
Nice.
And that's what's launched our new branch, our new brand, which is Graveyard Dreams, which is also nice. A spinoff show we're working nice. On right now.
I meant to ask you about that because I saw the new Twitter, the new Instagram feed. Right.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's going to air this season, too. We're done with that car, and it should be pretty emotional, and it should also ring a lot of bells
mm-hmm.
when you're talking about something that you had, and it's gone, the one that got away. And sure, just like with me with my Dodge Charger, I haven't given up, but I'm reasonably sure I'll never find that car. It's probably gone. But what would be better than just crying in your milk? It would be to build the exact same car. In my case, I'd put the tuck and roll crushed velvet inserts in the seat.
Nice.
All the things that I made at my car. So that's what this guy did. Jimmy did this. And so he's coming out here next week to film the reveal. Then it'll probably air after Christmas, is my guess, probably towards the first of the year.
Excellent. Excellent. That's very good.
Nice Christmas
present. Yeah, that's pretty much. Well, there's, let's see, it seems to me like there's another car. Well, we're revealing, of course, the little dead wagon.
Right.
You gotta take that down to drag strip.
I see the Daytona painted this year. So yeah, this first half of the season. So it's 13 episodes right now, and then we're going to be off, I think, from February to March, and then we're back on in March with 13 more.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So we're rocking them out, man.
Excellent. Well, Mark, we're going to have to
wrap
up getting towards the end. We thank you very much for giving us a call and being part of the show today and cluing everybody
Always
in.
Always a pleasure.
What's going on?
Oh, yeah. I love you guys. Thanks. Anytime you need something out here, you just drop me a line.
Absolutely. Cool. And we will see you on Plane in Traffic coming up, I'm sure, soon. That'll come into place. Any information you want to give out, contact information if people want to get in touch with you or any of your friends, throw it
go
out.
To your, go to graveyardcars.com. Almost everything that we're doing now, we did start merchandising, so we have some of the cars that we built in seasons past now available. You can buy those just in time for Christmas on go to graveyardcars.com, and they pop up right at the bottom of the screen.
Okay,
watch us Friday nights at 9, 8 Central on the new Motor Trend network.
Got that.
And that's all I can say is God bless and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks,
same
man.
To you, Mark.
Christmas
and
to you, Mark.
Nice you and your
Mark.
Family.
Thank
and we'll,
you.
We'll be in touch. We'll speak with you again soon.
You too, Al and Dave, back there in the background. Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
No, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
thank
Mark.
You. Bye-bye.
So long. Yeah. All right. That was Mr. Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars.
What a guy.